This is the Outsource Accelerator Podcast, exploring business and outsourcing mastery. Let's do it. Hi, and welcome to another episode of the Outsource Accelerator Podcast. This is episode 110, and my name is Derek Gallimore. Today, I am joined by Paul Magiatis of East West Enterprises. Okay, this is an outsourcing firm that Paul set up in response to his personal needs in business. Paul, as we have heard before, is a serial businessman and entrepreneur, and he set up this outsourcing service provider to manage his own company's back end. He then extended the services to help other similar entrepreneurs with their basic administration tasks and VA tasks and the like. But it is a super interesting conversation. We do talk far more broadly than his outsourcing establishment. And of course, he provides all of his backstory, so I'll let you get that straight from him. We did speak to Paul previously in episode 105. So if you want to get his full backstory, go and have a listen to that episode. In the meantime, if you want any of the show notes or to get in touch with Paul, then go to our show notes, which is at outsourceaccelerator.com/110. Enjoy. Hi, welcome back, everybody. So today we are joined again by Paul Magiatis. And Paul is a serial entrepreneur, has a long background in business and also property, which has a lot of commonalities with me, actually. And then in 2007, he came over out of a personal need and developed a outsourcing and virtual assistant back-end infrastructure. He now offers that to the public. I will, of course, let Paul introduce himself and introduce his firm, but I am enjoying this talk with Paul because I really just want to deep dive into the offering of this company and to show you out there the expertise and skills that come with these service offerings. So, hi Paul, thanks for joining us again.
Derek, how are you?
Very good, very good. And if you don't mind, can you just give an outline of your background and how you came to run an outsourcing shop?
Oh, certainly, Derek. I've got several small businesses. I have a property business, which I discussed with you a while back, which is how the outsourcing started. Process-driven jobs were outsourced for my property investment business. I have a property management business, again, heavy on compliance. We own half of a financial services business, a mortgage broking business, if you like, so that's very heavy on compliance and paperwork and administration. We also are involved in online health and wellness shops, again, all back-end data entry and call center work. And in 2007, 2008, we started East West Enterprises to facilitate and to minimise the cost of trying to run those businesses in Australia. And that saved most of those businesses at the time because there's just no way a few of those would have survived had we have not looked at that bottom line and had to just readjust and re-engineer them into virtual businesses, if you like. So there's a virtual model that we use for all those businesses now.
Right. And then so you created this model where effectively you took the, I suppose, less core activities and took them offshore. Have you found that now you have taken more and more activities offshore so that you're almost at a point where the pyramid's inverting and the majority of staff are in the Philippines and you know, only the essential tasks are being carried out in the high-cost Australia?
Absolutely, yeah. At the moment, we've got, I would say, 95% of our staff, our offices, our largest office space sits in Cebu City, so you're quite right. And we started with, well, when we formed East West, we obviously did it to staff our own businesses. So we needed a variety, if you like, of talent, but we only needed it in small chunks of time, and there wasn't very many people that offered that in the Philippines at the time. So for instance would be I'd need someone to do my social media for five different companies. So that's not a full-time job. That's a couple of posts. It's probably 4 hours a day for a media manager. So we thought, oh, okay, well, let's put on a media manager. We're incorporated. We have a HR unit, so we got our media manager on. Then we just resell those 4 hours to someone else who has the same need. The records need to be kept for the property and the rental businesses. A lot of contracts that need to be completed and filled in. So pre-filling documents is a large part of what we do. Again, that's all proceduralized. We need another person to do that for like an hour a day. So, you know, that's a difficult one to fill. So again, we'd hire someone full-time with that skill set, and then we will sell the difference to another business that requires that skill set. So we're a little bit different to your typical business processing unit, whereas they have one skill and they offer it to an industry. We more find skill sets and incubate them, resell the difference, and recruit in teams. So if someone comes to me from a legal practice and they need, and we do a lot of this, a lot of transcription work, we'll hire in a paralegal or a law student to do that, and she may handle one or two lawyers. So we're more boutique and more executive assistant based than business processing, really, because we build teams for other businesses, incubate them. In time, those businesses, if they choose to, they may want to go out on their own and take their staff with them. We're okay with that. We'll just incubate that team for them until they're ready to go. And that happens in the Philippines. People won't tell you, but they want to build their own team. We know this, so rather than fighting it, we tell people, you know, we're happy to incubate a team and start you off, get it to the point where it's critical mass, and then at that point, if you choose to build your own business over there as well, your own BPO, we're happy to consult and help you do that. So it's a bit of a different model that we have to your typical BPO.
And it's an exciting prospect, isn't it? Because, you know, effectively you built this off the back of needing to build out your own infrastructure. So people are able to tap into, you know, what is very much a tried, tested, but also trusted infrastructure, because it's actually, it's running your enterprises. So, but also from your point of view, and this is what I see with a lot of entrepreneurs coming over to the Philippines, they catch the outsourcing bug. Because there is so much, because of the cost differential, there's so much more cushioning. So you can hire a social media manager and have this person sitting, redundant for 4 hours a day until you find someone to take up those hours. You can hire extra staffing to do other roles because the cost is not so great, so the risk of entering these new markets and these new roles is far less considerable. Yeah, do you see that? You know, I mean, if you were bringing on someone at 120,000 Australian a year, you would really have to think twice about entering into that sector or taking on that role. Yeah, whereas in the Philippines, you can just add staff and figure out what to do with them afterwards.
Correct, and you can be a very small fish in Australia and look like a very large fish in a very large pond very quickly by scaling up your staffing overseas. You can be a one-man show today or a plumber with 10 staff tomorrow. Now, I can, from a sales point of view, if you are running a plumbing contracting business and you went in to get a large contract or a large job, and when you have to tick the box, how many people do you employ, all of a sudden you're a large SME with a bigger chance of getting that job. So not only does it save you cost, not only is the risk managed because of the lower cost and high value of the business, but it also makes you look large. So you can look like a corporate very quickly, because you can make a mistake when you're dealing in pesos. You can't really make that mistake when you're dealing in dollars, because it will send you broke. So I think it's even more important to take away, if you take away the money side of it, just the scalability. You need someone to do a job. You can't afford it, it's not going to happen, you'll do it yourself. But if you can outsource it and employ two people and just have them sitting there for when you do get the work on, you can take on more work very quickly, and your cost base is still 50% of what it is here.
Yeah,
but you're ready for the work. See, rather than waiting for the work to come, then find someone, you're best off having people ready to do the job, so you can just concentrate on business development. And that's all I do. I just continuously do business development for each business and just keep throwing work into the business, winning contracts for the business. And we always have a minimum of 20% idle time sitting in our admin pool to take up any extra work that comes in so that we don't have to be struggling to get it done. So we've always got 20% idle time, which people find interesting and probably not as effective. You wouldn't do it here because it would cost you too much. But you're quite right. Because of the low cost, you can have people waiting for the job to come in.
Yeah, you can afford the opportunistic proactivity, can't you? Because it's and also, you know, I mean, one of our sort of biggest slogans is that you can save 70% on staffing costs, but actually it's about the drive of growth and innovation that you can afford in your business. And you know, if you are considering expanding in Australia, in high-cost Australia, and to do that, you need to hire a $150,000 employee, you will think twice about that. Whereas if you can take on people at incremental costs of $300-$500 per month, the risk isn't so great, and actually you can venture in and test new areas. So it means that you're able to have idle time. It means that you're able to have people waiting to pounce on opportunities when they come. But also it means, you know, and I sort of, if you take this to the furthest extreme, you can literally have armies of people working under you that can conquer your markets or build new markets or innovate new products, where all of your competitors, you know, they're kind of having to stay put because they can't afford the incremental increase in staffing. It's
absolutely, yes. You can look like a very, very large army of people very quickly and take work away from other people that are just laying stagnant, can't deliver.
So let's just zoom in a little bit on your service provision, and how do you present it to people, and where do you fit in the very broad and deep outsourcing market?
Our spot's a pretty unique little spot. We do offer a lot of part-time, so 2, 4, and 6 hour blocks of time. We work it on an hourly rate rather than having managed operations. It's just one rate, X amount of hours, subscription-based, every month paid in advance. It's a subscription, and it's like a phone plan. That person is sitting there for you for X amount of hours a day. We do full-time staff, but most of our staff are part-time, least part-time to the SMEs. So the SMEs that are, you know, 3 to 10 employees, $1 to $5 million kind of turnover, that want to put some more on their bottom line, that have all this back office admin that just would makes them better, more efficient, and they can create a better service than their competitors, that's our space. So a lot of our girls will have 2 clients at 4 hours each, and they'll stretch that in that 8 hour period. So they'll take both clients' calls and emails and correspondence in that 8 hour block to cover their workload. So it's the part time. In fact, a lot of BPOs actually refer people to us when they get asked about part time, or if they need 4 or 5 different skill sets and you just can't find that with one VA, then we will just put them in an admin pool and they'll have 2 hours of creative and hours of kind of more legal based transcription work and an hour's worth of someone who, let me see, what do we do over there, does data entry, so complex data entry into specific systems. You know, there's a specific CRMs, confusion software, I call it. Some of the ladies have worked on that extensively. So we give those 2 hours to them. So you can effectively have 3 or 4 people on your team for 2 or 3 hours each doing 2 or 3 different functions and complete that small business out, pad it out, and get a lot of work done.
And what are the minimum hours that you would lease people out for? Is it kind of 2 hours a month, or do you expect a certain amount of hours per day?
We do. Our minimum is an hour a day, so you need to committing to an hour a day,
right?
And that's our minimum subscription, and obviously that's a little bit higher than having 2 hours a day. So we don't do projects, we just do subscription-based an hour a day. If you don't have at least an hour a day's worth of administration for someone, then you're just not big enough.
Sure.
Then we refer on to other BPOs that do project work or home-based people that can just knock out some tasks and bill you. that's not really our space.
And because, of course, you need some consistency for the staff member that you're providing, because actually they then get to know the client, they get to know the type of work. So actually it's a win-win for both sides, yeah, because, you know, if you just sort of revisit a client or a task to do 3 times a month, then you lose efficiency and consistency, don't you?
Yeah, generally that's not a client, that's just a job. Our clients become pretty reliant on their VAs. Our team leaders, of course, make sure that everyone's looked after and everything's monitored and reported, but they become very reliant. And in a small business, your team is pretty important. It's pretty important you all get on well, but it's also comforting to know that tomorrow, if you need to grow from your 1 hour to 2 hours, we can just slot someone else into that extra hour spot. So if you only need an hour's worth of data entry, but then all of a sudden you want someone to enter your zero accounts, then hey, we'll employ someone else for an hour a day for you in that pool. And then all of a sudden you're starting to look like a real business. You're growing, you got your life back, you're getting all these tasks done, but you don't have to have full-time employees anyway. You just have lots of part-time employees, which is where we've actually specialized. And the most popular block is a four-hour block. Most people we deal with do a four-hour block of time. And some of them have 3 or 4 VAs at four-hour blocks doing 4 different things. So right. For them, it works really, really well. So technically, some of them have got 4 full-time employees over 8 people, if you like, doing 8 different tasks, which is good risk management also for small business. So they don't have all their eggs in one basket. People are sick. The traffic in the Philippines sometimes means you just can't get to work, which you would know, Derek. It just doesn't happen.
Absolutely.
So you are dealing with a third world country. So to minimize your risk, you're better off having 4 or 5 part-time staff all knowing each other's job.
And it's easily scalable then, isn't it? You know, you just kind of plug in extra resources as and when you need them.
And our big thing is when someone comes to us, if you came to us and you were an electrician and you've got 4 trucks on the road and you wanted us to do your scheduling, so that would take probably 4 hours a day. So we would, as your jobs came through, we would record that job on screen with voice, we then document the job, and we'd have a folder for you with all your processes and procedures in there. Then we'll document and proceduralize everything we do for you in there. So we pretty much ISO 9001 you as you walk in the door. Now, we don't do that for the client. We do that for us, because usually the problem with outsourcing is not outsourcing, it's the user. Because they don't have procedures and they're not quite sure how to do some of their own tasks that they want you to do because they don't have time. So we figure it out for them, proceduralize it, do the job, give them the procedure. They learn the job and we move on from there.
Yeah, so at Outsource Accelerator, we commonly deal with slightly bigger SME, you know, that have dedicated staffing needs. But one of the educational or certainly action plans we take with them is just to get started. You know, don't spend too much time planning. You know, you can do needs analyses and things like that, and we absolutely suggest that and work with people to do that. But also, I suggest from very early on to just get a VA, get a part-time assistant, even, you know, using services such as yours, because it gets you on that road. And as you provided an example previously, it opens people's eyes to the possibility. It gets people used to proceduralizing things or mapping out the procedures, and it gets them used to working with a remote team. So there's a huge amount of kind of growth in just kind of taking on someone for 1 or 4 hours a day that you must see go through your doors. You know, huge. You're almost like an educational facility, yeah.
Pretty much. See, you're quite right. We get a lot of one-hour people come through and figure out that they really don't have the work. They're just not organized, because they'll send through what they think is 40 hours worth of work, and 3 hours later it's complete because it's not what they do. So an hour a day is probably too much for them, but they keep it because they just keep then throwing more work at it. And they didn't realize that they were wasting their life doing something they're no good at. Whereas a 20-year-old can do that job in less than 3 minutes, if you like. So,
yeah, is that right? So do you get a lot of builders or plumbers or something, and you know they're just daunted by a task, and then you hand it over to a 20-year-old that's doing it all day, every day, and they just whip through it? Yeah.
Absolutely. Look, we don't run a marketing agency. We do a lot of social media for people, and we have a process. Again, we've written a process for it, so we just decided to use that process for everybody. And our social media people will just come up with, you know, 50 quota graphics, some interesting photos, a few bits and pieces, some posts, some articles, and just put them in a folder and do a post a week for them. And you know, that for them is a massive task, so they just don't have time to do it.
Yeah. Just turning it into a bulk.
And that's a very simple example, but that's the most of it. Yeah, there's a lot of that we do. And we're at a point now where our social media team, we pump out 5 or 6 companies. We manage their social media with just a schedule of events. So it's not marketing as such. They've got their marketing managers gave them a schedule of events. They've moved their marketing managers on. They've handed over the schedules to us, and we then just do the back end work and just get the articles written for them, do the posts systematically all the time. And for them, great. They just haven't got the capacity to do it. To write an article takes a long time if you're not a copywriter. So we just employ copywriters that can knock them out pretty quick.
It's huge, huh? And Paul, so if people want to engage with you, just give us insight into the pricing structure. It's fairly transparent and simplistic, isn't it? Which certainly helps. So give us a guide as to the cost.
Absolutely. So our pricing structure, rather than trying to make it complicated, I try to keep things fairly easy. So staffing on demand prices is pretty easy. Senior virtual assistants, if you're doing an hour a day, it'll come in at $13.35, so $289.25 per month AUD, and that just is a subscription paid up front. And that's a good starting point for people to start handing over their work. Now, that could be someone with a law degree that you're having do your transcriptions, or that could be just someone doing some Facebook marketing for you. We have light package.
Yeah, it's an incredible way to just dip your toe into outsourcing, isn't it? And the potential upside then, if you find out the true potential for outsourcing, it's huge. And, you know, I think that's because enormous. People are slightly daunted by outsourcing proper, in inverted commas, because it means hiring staff, it means engaging with BPO service providers, it means contracts. But actually, if you can get going for $200 a day and it opens up your eyes to the full potential, it's an incredible investment.
Oh, it is. And all these packages, there are no contracts. We have just a subscription-based model, no contracts, no lock-ins. It just rolls from month to month because it's really not worth writing a contract for an hour a day.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah,
if people get to the point where they've got a full-time employees, we look at contracts then. But until then, you're in control of the subscription. Should you not like the service, you turn it off. It's not a great business model, but we lose very few people because it's priced well. High-end staff, we know we deliver, so we don't have to worry about the contracts terribly much. Our light package is for 2 hours a day, $12.42 an hour, so that's $538 per month. But even our 4 hour a day, our most popular is 3 hours a day. It's the best seller, actually, and I don't know why, it just is. The 3 hours a day at $10.82 an hour, so $700 a month gets you an employee for 20 hours a week. So That's exceptional, and that's a senior person. Your juniors come in at less than that. But a senior 4 hours a day, again, $916 a month for a senior virtual assistant on 4 hours a day. It's about $10.58 an hour. It's to give you an idea of the quality of someone and the standard of someone on that kind of money, you're probably looking at someone who's got a management, their business degree studying law.
Yeah, so it's incredible.
That's the quality of people you get.
And again, it includes all of the desk costs, the infrastructure, but also your processes, your procedures, your assistance, your kind of paternal education of the new client. There's a huge amount of bought-in and wrapped up services that
people can rather than to. Specifying it all, then we've packaged it all up so it covers all the infrastructure costs. And we're in an A-class office in Cebu looking at the Telstra tower next to us there. We've got good security in there. It's all A-class, good internet, server rooms are all refrigerated. It's a high-end office. And all your supervision in there as well, so that's all looked after. So that's your supervision, all your IT. It's completely looked after. Really, we manage the staff. You just manage your tasks and send them the work and do the training on any particular things in your business that are that only you can train. It's only idiosyncrasies. That's your role. Our role is everyone's at work, the labour laws are abided by, the HR's looked after, payroll's looked after, seat and IT is all looked after for you, biometrics, so no one can get in and out of the offices unless they're actually registered on the biometrics with thumbprint. So it's a good, secure, high-end office that you're buying into, really.
Because, again, people have an impression or misconception that the Philippines is a lot of sweatshops and people are receiving the rough end of the stick by taking these jobs. But actually, it's a long way from the truth. And there are incredible office facilities here. And the jobs that you are offering people in the Philippines really are fantastic jobs. There's career ladder. You're educating them. And it's very much a win-win.
It is. We're in the middle of IT Park in Cebu there, so it's kind of like a CBD of any westernized city anywhere in the world.
Fantastic. Fantastic, Paul. Amazing insight. And again, you know, it's an incredible opportunity, I think, not only, you know, to get a very cost-effective employee for $10 an hour, but also it's an opportunity to really, really transform your business and step into outsourcing and see where it can literally transform your business and the opportunities in your business. How can they get in touch with you, Paul, if they want to know more?
Easiest way to get in touch with me is if they go to the website, eastwestenterprises.com.au. There's a phone number on there that they can call, or otherwise, and that phone number comes to me. Otherwise, they just jump on the contact sheet, send an email, and put my name in the subject line if they want to have a chat with me, and I'm happy to walk anyone through the process to see if outsourcing is for them, because again, it's not for everybody. You need to be at least semi-organized before you step into outsourcing, and if you're not, at least we can help you get semi-organized and start you off.
Fantastic, Paul. All of those contact details will be in the show notes and of course your website, and thanks very much for joining us.
Thanks, Derek.
Okay, that was Paul Magiatis. I hope you enjoyed that, and I certainly learned a lot chatting to him. If you want to get in touch with Paul or want any of the show notes, then go to outsourceaccelerator.com/110 for all that information. And of course, if you want to email us and ask us anything, then do so at ask@outsourceaccelerator.com. See you next time.